What's up, you guys? Hola from Puerto Rico.
And it is Give Them Lala with Ran, and we are here in beautiful Puerto Rico. How lucky are we to have a chance to start our movie up again? Yes.
I mean, it's weird because I was having like general phone calls today with my manager and agent and blah, 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 like super Hollywood shit.
That was very Hollywood, that whole thing.
And most, I know.
Right? No, seriously. Oh, let's just take
a moment.
I
had to drop that.
No, you dropped it and then I'm looking under the table and it's still sitting there. Okay.
Oh, did you just steal my line from when you name drop?
I don't name drop. You
okay,
just drop
moving on.
Oh, really?
We're back to this. Talking to them.
This episode's going to be a long episode. I can already see with the attitude.
I was telling them, like, you know, movies are being pushed, blah, blah, blah. And they had to remind me, like, you guys are really lucky that you're continuing to work because most people still are not.
Well, it's not only that. Movies not only are being pushed, the whole industry has been shut down like many other industries. And we're one of the first movies back here, and it is a blessing to be able to go back to work, and it is a new world to have to go back to work in the way that we are going back to work. I had to learn all the protocols and take all these classes, and it's like walking into kind of like Mars, you know, like with all the protective gear and stuff. Why are you giving me that smile, dude? Honestly.
I love it.
What do you love? Like, what's the smile about?
I'm just listening.
No, I know. You got that smirk smile. Like, you know, you have three smiles. Is that something from a movie a long time ago where they said you have...
No, but tell me.
What was that movie?
The three smiles.
Tim, what was that movie about? You know how many smiles I have. There was a famous movie.
I don't know.
Someone will remember it. Anyway, okay. So the smile just gave me was a smart-ass smile, so you're full of shit. But anyway... We are sitting here, and I'm going to screenshot the view of the ocean. It is paradise. We are very blessed to be able to go back to work because we have not worked in 4 or 5 months. So I'm very excited to try to do this. We are doing it safely. It is a new world, a new way of making movies, but it is exciting.
Yes.
Lala, roll your eyes one more time during this podcast. That's it.
Randall, every podcast can't be about how thankful we are to go back to work and coronavirus and a new way of living. We've got to at some point venture into new territory. Are we doing that now?
Oh my God. Are you really being that like shallow?
No, I feel like it's deja vu. Like
Tim.
The same. Like
Tim,
I
is this
feel
for real?
Like I'm
Who
living.
Who are you today?
I'm trying to offer the people something.
The people?
Hilarious the or something.
The people are... want to hear about the struggles that the world
they know
has
the struggles
overcome.
They know it.
What do you want to talk
they're
about?
They're in it.
What do you want to talk about? Real Housewives gossip? I'm trying to talk about
that,
real shit.
I know, but everyone knows the
okay,
real shit.
Okay, you know
shit.
What? I'm going to be quiet since
okay.
it's Give Them Lala.
No. I want you to engage.
No, I'm not talking. I'm not talking.
So
say whatever
week,
you want to say. You know what? You know what we're going to do? Because you're upsetting me and you hurt my feelings. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do.
I'm sorry I hurt
your
feelings.
No, not next week's episode, the week after.
Yeah.
We're going to do half and half. Half and half.
Okay.
The first half of the episode will be you by yourself talking about all your tea and gossip.
We can each have a co-host though.
No, I just said you by yourself and me by myself. And let's have them vote.
Okay. I love that idea.
Oh, you really
no
want to
co-host?
Do that?
That'll
problem
be
is you have
amazing.
Like 2 million fans and I have like 20, but we'll just do it anyway. Okay. What do you want to bring up, Lala?
Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge the fact that we said last week that we were bringing on an astrologist, which I was super excited about. And then we got a phone call today that she could not do it because the time difference, I think there was a miscommunication.
Correct. And we also didn't know that for sure we were coming to Puerto Rico, whether the movie was starting, et cetera. Now
right.
it is. So we traveled and the schedules got messed up. But here's the good news. We are going to keep all the questions that came in because we're super excited.
We have a lot of good ones.
We have like 40, 50.
Yeah.
We're going to move those to next week's episode, and that will be the astrology episode. So there we go. Now, let's talk about who we do have on this week because I am excited. Then you can go into all your tea. I already see you. You, by the way, everybody.
I have a little, pad of shit that I've
no,
that
I was just gonna
so
tell.
Want to talk about.
I know, but it's like I feel like you're like, yeah, you're ready to spill the tea. That's where I probably will. Check messages during that time.
Okay.
Okay. So my buddy and amazingly talented actor who is starring in my movie Midnight in the Switchgrass, along with Megan Fox and Emil Hirsch and Machine Gun Kelly, is Lucas Haas, who is a friend and also one of the coolest, smartest, most talented actors out there. Has been acting since he was 6 years old. So we have him on today. He is going to share with us kind of his story.
He used to go into his, I think it was, what grade are you in the sixth grade? Like kindergarten, right? He was telling me
in sixth grade, you're in the sixth grade.
Yeah, sixth grade.
You're was six. What grade are you in when you're six?
Oh, you said sixth grade. What grade are you in? You're in kindergarten in the sixth grade.
Whoa.
Yeah, Lala, drop the mic.
Island brain. Okay. Yeah, I'm on.
In that case, I think that's first grade.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Where are you going with this?
That he used to dress up in costume, Lucas, as like a cowboy, or he would go to school every day in different costumes. Oh. And I thought that was really fucking hilarious.
This interview is going to go. I feel bad for Lucas. It's amazing. About to get fucking sideswiped. Do you think Lucas will stay on the movie after this podcast is the bigger
question? No. I'm going to make him so uncomfortable. That's what I like to do.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so
drop the tea and then we'll get back to Lucas.
Moving on. Jada Pinkett Smith.
What happened with that?
So I just watched the video. Been trolling TMZ.
Okay, wait. What was the video? The video she did on her podcast?
So basically this guy, his name's August Alsina. He's fucking to die for, by the way. Don't get mad at me for saying that.
What does that mean, to die for?
He's very good looking. All right?
All right.
So back in
Wow. Wow. This is just... this is just an all-star podcast.
This is tea.
This is tea.
Fuck.
Who do you think is hot, Randall?
Just where's Lucas?
We're bringing him out.
I'm ready to interview Lucas.
So anyway,
go ahead. Okay, so the guy's hot. You like him.
Will Smith and Jada Pinkett were together, right? They're on the verge of like getting a divorce behind closed doors. No one knows this. And she finds herself in a quote-unquote an entanglement with August Alsina, right? Okay. Well, just recently, August decides to come out and be like, I was in a relationship with her. Okay. So Jada, being a fucking genius, is like, I'm bringing myself to the Red Table, which is her own show.
I also read that they were separated at that time. You shouldn't mention that.
Well, she brings herself to the Red Table with Will Smith
to
talk about it. In this video that I watched, they're very much like ride or die for each other.
Hold on. Will Smith and Jada come to her talk show.
She brings
this is a television show she has?
She has a talk show on YouTube Red called Table Talk.
Okay, so they sit down.
The Red Table.
They sit down and what happens?
They talk about it all. About how they were in a dark place, how they went their separate ways for like 5 months, which she then got into an entanglement. And Will was like, why don't you call it what it is, a relationship? And she goes, yes, that's what it was. And it is like, she said after that, she was like, she feels so free. And you know, it's always been up in the air. Like, cause August Alsina said that they got into a relationship with Will Smith's blessing. So everyone's like, are they in an open relationship? Blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. If it doesn't affect me, I really don't give a shit who you're banging.
Yeah, but can we talk about Will's reaction? He's already been memed. He's like sitting there with tears in his eyes talking about the entanglement.
Yeah, his face really said it all. He looked very uncomfortable and sad, and like, it was sad.
But are they happy now?
Here's the thing. It's Hollywood. Who
knows
if they're really happy?
Based on watching this thing?
I think they've been married for 25 years.
Well, that's amazing.
I think they hit bumps in the road.
But
I think they're badass.
Can we stop,
stop,
time out.
What?
Please. Let's give them that credit. 25 years of marriage in Hollywood is a very tough thing.
I know.
So I give them and being Will Smith. Now, I don't think that I'm thinking, oh my God, it's so hard to be Will Smith. I'm saying, being in a relationship 25 years, whether you work, you know, in real estate or a banker or in Hollywood, it's going to have its ups and downs. But also, Hollywood definitely complicates
things. Well, 25 years in Hollywood is like 100 years. Let's be honest.
So I give them props for that.
Yeah.
And that is an incredible. I'm going to have to watch that. That seems.
You'll have to watch it because she says that she feels very free after she went through all of that, you know, and spoke to him at the Red Table. But in 24 hours, it had 15 million views.
Wow.
Yeah, so she's genius.
Okay. You have a little more tea, I see, because that list looks like it's a report card.
It's not really a report card. I couldn't do this podcast without acknowledging the fact that the Glee cast has lost now their third member.
It's horrible.
It's horrible.
Devastating.
I mean, I cannot believe this poor little boy is sitting in a boat, never to see his mother again, doesn't know. I can't even imagine the horror. And then the rest of his life, this is it. This is what he remembers. It's just, it's first of all, it's tragic to lose any human being, but I'm just saying her son, this is what he will remember. You know,
right.
My mother got in the water, went for a swim, you know, probably jumped in or whatever.
Well, I read on CNN that they got in the water together and she got up enough strength to put him back in the boat because clearly she knew something was happening. So did
she,
to her.
Do you think she had an aneurysm or
I'm
something
sure.
of that nature or a heart attack? I mean, maybe a freak heart attack. I mean, something had to happen catastrophically.
They just she's found a young her, fit. I believe, this morning. So well, I'm so sure they're going to do the autopsy. But the coroner said that she had enough strength to get her son back in the
but
boat,
not herself.
But not herself.
I'm just going to say something. When I read this story, it brought tears to my eyes. I could not believe that something like this happened. Yes, I don't want to say it's a curse, but you know, they've lost a bunch of cast members and it's tragic. And they're young. All of them have been very young.
I think Naya was only like 33.
Yeah, that's
this week in general has been a really bad week for celebrity deaths because Kelly Preston died, who we had worked with.
Yeah.
That was
I want to say for 1 second. Yeah, and that's another thing. I mean, you know, you got to meet Kelly.
Sorry, I didn't know if you wanted me to talk about that because I know that you know her or knew her personally.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to.
I grieved in my own way and I went through that and it was, it's hard to talk about because it's just like, she was such an amazing mother and wife. And I text John Travolta, obviously the day it happened, I know that he's far removed from his telephone for probably a long time. But
I can tell you that he is because on his Instagram, he said, if you are reaching out, this isn't verbatim, but that he and his family
right.
are going to be not
checked
engaging
sure.
for a
right.
while,
they've
but that your messages don't go unnoticed.
And I just think that she was such a shining light, so fun, so happy. So just you could tell that every moment of life when you hung out with her or
right.
worked with her creatively or just had a dinner with her, she was just so just beautiful in every way. So
I only knew her through you, Rand.
Yeah. But you spent dinners with her.
And it was really funny because obviously I am not an A-list celebrity, nor am I known for film. And so when you had Gotti and I was going to the carpets with you into the film festival in Cannes, like I was very intimidated. I felt insecure. And she, for some reason, I don't know if she could feel my energy, but she always made me feel like I belonged there.
But that's the magic of Kelly Preston. It didn't matter if you were, taking her order at a dinner mm-hmm. or you were her co-star or you were a producer or even my father who sat next to her at a dinner we had in Ohio. She just, you know, was that person. She was just a beautiful, beautiful woman. And she treated everybody with fairness and she was very, very honorable. And I will miss her and I will miss everything she stood for. And at least, you know, she left us with some incredible films and roles that we will get to, you know, see her over and over in that respect. But
and her last film she ever did was your film, Gotti.
I know. So I take a lot of pride and honor that, you know, that was the last role that she acted in. And she was so happy because her and John were doing it together.
Yeah.
And I don't think people, you know, I think they're so professional, you know, when it comes to work that John and Kelly, they love promoting the movie and working on it together. And it was like, you know, watching like when you and I do the podcast, but when we were on set, you know, they were just two professional actors. They just didn't.
They knew how to separate things,
right? Because they both were there doing a job, and they both are super professional. And
right.
John was a producer on the movie, and Kelly had been working on that film with John for like 6 years to get it made. So I'm very, very proud to have gotten to work with both of them. And I will tell you, you know, they sent me footage of mm-hmm. that at Cannes, and I watched it the other day. A few videos, and it was really hard to watch because she was so happy and so beautiful and so such a shining light. And I really hope people listening to this podcast will go and watch some of the movies that Kelly Preston was in.
Oh, babe. All right. Let's take a quick break and we will be right back. Are you good?
All right, we are back. I got a little emotional.
Randall pulled it together with a big kiss.
Where was the kiss? Because
in my mind.
Stop lying to
our
fans.
In my mind, it happened.
You just lied. You just said you gave me Lucas. We have Lucas Haas here. Lucas, say hello to everybody.
Hey, what's up?
All right, she didn't give me a kiss, and she just straight up bullshitted me. Now you want to give me a kiss?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So everybody, we have Lucas Haas. Lucas, what I love about you, because I'm a movie geek and I am a cinephile and I love movies. I know all of your films and I've always wanted to work with you. And this is the first time we've worked together. We know each other in Hollywood. We've friends with the same friends. Yeah. Very Hollywood kind of thing. But just tell me kind of how you started, how you got into acting, because a lot of people don't. Your body of work is so diverse and so epic, but like, how did it start?
Yeah.
What did it for you?
The way I started was my mom became a writer. It was her first, the first thing she ever wrote. She wrote this pilot and it was a live studio audience. And I was in the audience watching that. And when I saw that, I became obsessed from that moment forward.
And what age? What age?
I was like four.
Oh, wow.
And I was really obsessed. So I was asked, I even remember this. I remember asking them, like pulling on their clothes, asking them if I could be an actor. You know, like, hey, can I be an actor? I want to be an actor. I was like obsessed. So
that's awesome. So, okay, so then what happened? What are the steps from there to like your first job?
I started like dressing up to go to kindergarten. I started putting on costumes and we had like one school play where I like made masks for the other kids. We were like mice and I had to make us like little noses and all that kind of stuff. And then, because I was
Had cool parents.
I had really cool, like, very.
I asked him the other day. I said, "Are your parents like kind of hippies?" And he was like, "For sure, totally."
I mean, if you're dressing up that age, you have cool as shit parents.
Yeah, my dad like got. They were married in like he had a top hat on, and they married in a teepee in Malibu.
Wow, so
amazing.
Okay, hippie parents, hippie cool parents, as shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they would, you know, they let me dress up to go to school. And then there was one actually like a parade down Wilshire.
Yeah.
And we all did like paper mache animals, all the kids.
Yeah.
And mine was a spider. In order to make it work, I had to crawl.
On the street?
Yeah.
In the parade.
And I would not get up. So I crawled for 3 miles straight. I had bloody knees and bloody hands.
Commitment.
Oh, you're like you were a method actor at 6 years old.
I was like, this was five.
Five.
I was like five at that point. I was determined.
That's amazing.
So then a casting director came to my kindergarten and asked who's the best actor in all the school plays. And they were like, that kid right there in the Spider-Man outfit. So then they told my parents. And my parents said, all right, let's
try.
Let's let them do it. Because up until then, they had said, no, you're too young. You know, when you get older, you can do it. But
and this is now at five when the casting director comes to the school?
Yeah.
And what happens from that?
So I went and auditioned and I got it.
What movie?
It was a movie called Testament.
Okay.
And then from that I got Witness, because the director of that was going to direct Witness, but she had to drop out and she suggested me to Peter Weir, who auditioned me.
Okay, epic. And tell everybody who co-starred, who was in Witness.
Witness was Harrison Ford,
right,
Kelly McGillis.
Yeah, just Harrison Ford.
No big deal.
Yeah, and that's your first movie.
That was my...
Second
movie, sorry.
That was my second movie.
And what was that? Do you remember the experience in detail at that age, or is it a blur?
I mean, there's some blurriness to it, but I remember a lot of details. Yeah, I remember the feeling of it, and I remember certain moments, and I remember what an amazing feeling it was to be there.
And you knew that was it. You were already all the way in at that point, even at that young of an age.
It just felt meant to be, especially after having been so obsessed with it. You know, like right. I was obsessed. So then it just happened, and it felt like, okay, this is right. You know,
I mean, I feel if my kid was like pretending to be a spider and actually crawling around until
3 miles on
were
the street
bloody, I'd be like, all right, I guess you can be an actor. I guess you like it enough.
But you know what's funny? I grew up, you know, in the arts too, and performing arts, and then was obsessed with movies while I was in the performing arts, and then figured out, oh, you can make movies, and went to film school. So I do understand that obsession. What happens next? Like, what as you get older, what's that big first role that really you knew, wow? You know.
Well, you know what happened? Basically, Witness was massive at the time.
Right.
Like, it was a really, really big movie. So
gigantic.
That carried me till now.
That's amazing.
Come on. You've worked with some epic directors and movie stars. I mean, but I mean, you're saying that just pummeled, you know.
It was kind of so big, and it was such an important role in the film.
Yeah.
So it was the title role of the film. And so I was making a lot of really cool movies after that. I made a movie called Rambling Rose.
Yeah.
And then I was in, you know, Woody Allen movies and, one Woody Allen.
How old were you? How old were you when you worked with Woody Allen?
18.
Okay. And what, tell me, okay. Now I've never even met Woody Allen. Okay. So that's somebody for me that's like, you know, Martin Scorsese, you know, you look right up and you say, you know, these iconic directors.
One of those guys.
What's the process like working with Woody Allen? I mean, is it the same as any other director? What's different? What makes him Woody Allen when you're on set as an actor?
You know, every director is different, but in this case, he actually was very hands off. He didn't say much. It's sort of like this feeling you get when you're there,
right?
Like the cast and the whole setup, and it's all the people he's been working with forever, and the script, and it's just like you already know what you're doing. You already know what a Woody Allen movie is.
You know
like
what to do because you've seen all of his work, and it's so flawless.
It's there's a particular vibe to it, and the lines all they sound like Woody Allen lines. And
there's not a lot to figure out. Meaning
he tells you. I mean, he comes in and he's like, "Hey, you go there and you go there," and he tells you what to do. But that's about it. Yeah.
but think about it. He doesn't have to do much because all the actors in his movies are like at a very high level. It's not like there's a lot of beginners in Woody Allen's movies.
Right.
You know,
like this isn't like when they step on like a freaking acting class.
Correct.
Like you come correct.
And it's like the greatest, most talented people in the industry. And that's probably why he doesn't have to say much because he cast them so perfectly.
There were a lot of great actors in that movie. It was like Goldie Hawn and Alan Alda and Drew Barrymore,
done.
Natalie Portman.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's pretty much the greatest. I mean, each person of that cast could make their own movie times 10 on their own.
Yeah.
I have a question because I heard a rumor. I'm not good with the rumors, but it was you did a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio in Canada in very, very tough conditions, which the name of the movie was?
Inception.
What's,
have you seen it, Randall?
Yes. One of my favorite movies.
It's so good.
One of my.
Oh, you mean The Revenant.
The Revenant. Sorry. The Revenant. Inception's one. Well, you did do it. Hold on. Whoa. Let's correct.
Hold on. No. We're talking about the one with the bear.
No. Inception.
The grizzly.
Yes.
Grizzly. Canada.
But hold on. Let's back up so people know. You did do Inception.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite movies. And The Revenant, which is also
Inception,
another one of my favorites.
I had to watch a few times to like
it's
actually
so good.
Understand what's happening.
I love it. I love it. And the interpretation is different every
for
time you watch it.
Yeah.
It's there's a lot going on in Inception, but we go back to that. The Revenant.
The Revenant.
So, now, I watched that movie. Leo won the Oscar for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Leonardo, because I don't know like Leo.
Or L. L.
Well, you give everybody an initial. You call Lucas. I mean, you call Lucas. Okay.
It's Lulu.
Okay. So one of the greatest filmmakers, right? And so tell me the conditions of that film, because the film is so in the element. It doesn't look like you're on a soundstage.
No, it was crazy. I mean, it was very, very cold. And we were out there in the cold for months on end, basically. I mean, that's pretty much the gist of it, you know.
I mean, so what's a normal day? Like, what was the temperature? Like 10 degrees, 20 degrees?
Freezing. It was freezing. Right. It was freezing.
And you guys are out there from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day in the cold and the water. I mean,
my role, you know, I was like one of the trappers. So there was probably like 10 of us, and we were all just kind of doing like.
You were all just trapping.
Trapping. Yeah. We were just trudging through lakes and rivers. And
oh, my. And the water. And how's that
up
water?
And down mountains. That was basically what I did in that movie. And it was pretty. It was pretty awesome. It was actually very cool to get to be a part of it, but it was tough to shoot.
Let me ask a question, because I do know a little bit of Hollywood history. I know that you have made movies with a lot of different actors. Is it different making movies with your friends, whoever it may be, versus is it better, is it worse, is it more comfortable, is it more uncomfortable, depending whoever it is, you know, because you know a lot of people. You grew up in the industry. Yeah. Is it easier to make movies with your friends?
You know what? Like I make friends with the people I make movies with,
right,
basically. And when you're on set, you're just doing your job. So it doesn't really necessarily feel any different to me.
Because you're approaching the role from a character. Doesn't matter if that person you've known for 20 years or you know for 20 minutes.
Well, it goes back to how you were talking about Kelly Preston and like how they can separate. You just
You learn how to be a professional, and when you're professional, that's kind of it's a job. So
Tell me your greatest experience in acting to date that you would say was your greatest, like, best role, the one you enjoyed the most performance wise.
You know, the one I enjoyed the most was probably Witness.
He's like, and my worst was this film called Midnight in the Switchgrass.
No, but
it's a joke. It's a joke. Randall is really sensitive today. It's a joke.
Are you?
Well, I haven't seen this one yet. Do you think? So there's no way to know.
This is the great thing. We might be friends now, but when the cut of the movie, you might be like, I'll be like, Lucas. Oh, sorry, man. I'm really busy. I'll get back to you. No,
but listen, there's a few movies.
Yeah, I'd like to just hear some of your favorites.
Highlights for me.
Yeah.
Rambling Rose was one of them when I was younger.
Amazing.
And then I did a movie called Brick that I loved.
Okay.
And that was with Joe Gordon Lovett, and I played
it. Ryan Johnson directed it.
Yes, it was his first
movie. You've seen it, Timbo?
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
Timbo has seen every movie.
It was a rad movie.
That's one of the ones that I've seen.
And it was a cool ass role too. That was a cool role.
Wait, what's it called? I gotta write it.
Brick.
Brick.
Yeah, well, I have to see it too.
Brick.
And then I loved my role in this movie called Widows that came out a couple.
I haven't seen that one.
But shocking.
It was a very cool.
How
movie,
old were you
cool
when you
role
did that one?
I was a couple years ago, so 42. Oh,
sorry. Didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Here's the craziest thing. So I put our movie together, Lucas, the one that we're doing right now, and you know how hard it is to put a movie together. You're in movies, you're an independent, you're in big studio ones. They're all hard to get together. And I finally decide after 20-something years to direct my first movie.
Very hard to put together.
Yeah, very hard to put together. And this one comes together, and I'm so excited, and boom, we start shooting, and then pandemic comes. And we're on a plane home after a week of shooting.
I've never seen Randall cry ever.
Again?
When he's doing a movie.
Is this a joke today?
No, I mean,
what is wrong with you?
The podcast is for honesty. People at the table can't be honest.
But this isn't therapy. I'm trying to talk about my experience making a movie.
And I'm telling them about my experience with you making a movie.
Go ahead.
It's the podcast. With both of us. I have never seen Randall cry when he's done any movie, and he's done over 100 films. This is the first. He looks so pissed. This is the first film he's cried on. Anyway.
Okay. Hey, by the way, I understand.
I didn't cry on the movie. I cried because my heart and soul was in this film. And as a director, I had never been through this experience before.
No one ever has, by the
way. No one has. And by the way, the whole world was shut down. So in the moment, and I just want to be honest because that's your world, the movie, right? You're on the set. You realize we all have to go home. You don't really know what's going on. So in that moment, my heart was broken. Obviously, when I got home, I realized, oh my God, the whole world is ending.
Hold on,
and
Lucas,
I got to take care of my family and myself. But in that moment,
Did Lucas know when you guys were out here? I'm very curious. Did you think like, oh, we're good. We're going to finish it up and then we'll head home?
Yeah. It was sort of like I thought so.
We thought
kind of almost halfway through the movie.
Yeah,
you know, a week.
We were almost half a couple weeks left.
Yeah, or whatever. And I went to set that morning. I mean, I went to set.
By the way, here's the truth. Here's the truth.
Ready to go.
Lucas put his costume on at like 6 a.m. before he even got the set. He just wanted to make sure he's a character.
Yeah, right.
No, and he crawled the set. No, but here's the truth. That weekend, right, I was talking to you, Law, and I was talking to the kids, and the world was shutting down already, but not fully. And we weren't feeling it here. And then Sunday, the governor of Puerto Rico put a curfew on. And that's when we all realized, oh, this is getting really serious. And I started talking to crew that night, and I realized this doesn't look like it's going to happen. The sweetest thing that I ever got was Megan Fox, Lucas, Emil, Hirsch, everybody called me and said, we're with you. And if you're going to keep shooting and we're allowed to shoot safely, then we will. And I said, that means the world to me. So I went to set that morning. You were already there. And, you know, we had half the crew show up, and which is understandable because people, the world was shutting down.
Of course, yeah.
And health was obviously a huge concern.
You definitely didn't know, because when you called me, you were like, it's normal here. And I was like, oh, shit is normal.
No. Wait, I want to get it right. That's not true. You're right about the normal, because on Saturday and Sunday, we were at the beach on our days off. Right. And we thought it was normal.
And it seemed like this thing that was going on in the other part of the world. You know, we weren't really. There were no cases.
There were no cases in Puerto Rico. And they were telling us everything's going to be normal here. Don't worry. I mean, obviously, nobody knew anything at that point. And we didn't know. But at about 9 p.m., 10 p.m., my production partner started calling me and saying, we don't think a lot of crew's coming in. And we're also being told by the health board that this is a pandemic and all this. So we were so in the dark over here. And I got to set that morning, and when half the crew was on the set, I knew. And I also we just decided that morning at about 6:30. I'd gotten up so early, and we had just decided that for now we're gonna I remember the conversation now. We had decided we were gonna shut down for like a week or two. We thought we're gonna go home. Remember, even on the plane home, I said, we're going to shut down for a couple weeks. We're going to come right back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were like, we'll be right back.
So Lucas stayed in costume the whole time.
And I crawled.
So he could stay in character.
But anyway, it was heartbreaking. We took a vote with the crew, but we also had, we took a vote because I think legally we were supposed to take a vote, but we had already decided when 40 people out of 110 showed up. But it was the right thing to do safety wise. Obviously the crew has, you know, family here. They need to get to them. We need to go home.
It was definitely something that needed to happen. It's unprecedented. No one knew how to deal with this thing. It was so
weird. And by the way, when I that morning at 6:30 a.m. when I knew we were going to shut down, we got to set and we made the official. I think I got us out of Puerto Rico in like 7 hours.
Literally, I was on set ready to work. And then you came up to me, you're like, I don't think we're going to film today. 99% we're not. And I'm like, okay. And then you're like, we're probably going home tonight. And I'm like, okay, all right. And we left.
We can laugh now. Yeah. We were not laughing then. But I mean, today,
you guys,
it's like
this movie 4 months later, that you guys are doing is so eventful. People are linking up. Yep, and now we're back. You know, I'm telling you, this is the best movie ever. And it hasn't even been released.
Do you know Emile Hirsch called me?
It is an exciting movie.
Emile Hirsch called me and said, there's more publicity around your movie. It hasn't even come out yet.
Even been filmed yet.
I know. How do we keep the momentum going with the film?
Listen, all I want to do is start shooting on Monday and make a great film and have the work speak for itself. And I am very grateful that all of, you know, you and Emile and Megan, Colson, everybody, what I love is you guys all kept in touch with me. We kept in touch with each other. And I think it made us even closer. And I think when we go back, we're going to even be stronger. So I'm really, really excited.
The only problem is the masks while you're...
Oh yeah, you guys have not. You guys haven't even scraped the surface yet.
Yeah, by the way. All right, we're gonna take a quick break and we'll come back and we're gonna finish up here with Lucas Haas.
We're back, biatch.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how you have to come back.
I feel like they're my friends, you know? Like this podcast, I'm like walking into a room and be like, what's up, bitch? How you doing, girl? That's how I feel. They're like, hey man, how's the wife? Okay. I feel like those are the people listening aren't just like people listening. Like those are my friends.
Yeah, that's probably obviously why they listen.
Yeah, that's probably why you have.
Thank you, Lucas. Yeah.
That's why Lucas and I have like 6 followers and you have 1.5 million. So there you go.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay, so, but anyway, we're just finishing up. But, I think the COVID thing, I think that it's made us stronger. I think it's brought us all closer. And I think that we're going to have a lot to talk about, with this movie. Because just going into rehearsals the other day, we had masks on and...
Oh my gosh, that was crazy. How weird, is it weird to direct with actors who have masks on?
Well, I had to direct and I couldn't even see what you were...
I didn't know
if you were laughing at me.
What if
you were sticking your tongue out at me and telling me to like go shove it?
I mean, I'm acting just like normal.
Or he's like biting, I don't know, a mouth doing nothing speaks 1,000 words. Like me when I'm pissed off, I... purse the lips. That's how random those I'm
well,
pissed.
They
that's
say it's all in the eyes, but I'm yes. not sure if that's true or not.
It's all in the eyes, but I'd like
until
to
you
see
put a mask on.
I'd like to see a little expression. So the good news is we could take the mask off when we actually roll the cameras next week, so we'll be fine. So where were we? Okay. Lucas, what is it like leaving Los Angeles now, being on an island overlooking the ocean after 4 months of lockdown? I mean,
which, by the way, LA's locked down again, guys.
I know, I heard.
So
that.
Are a lot of places.
Yeah. It's so surreal, by the way, just being here. I mean, I've never stayed at such a nice place when I was making a movie. I'm here literally just on the beach, just chilling out with the waves.
Your method processing. It is pretty amazing. I do say, you
is
know.
Is this a mind fuck for a method actor? Because if I was supposed to be like a serial killer, I'd look out at there and I'd be like, I feel so zen.
Yeah, it's like, wait, everything's fine.
What?
Look, all I got to say is, you know, I've made movies like you, Lucas, all around the world. And, you know, in places that were 10 degrees below, Grand Rapids, Michigan in the mm-hmm. winter, in blizzards where we couldn't get to the set. I've made movies in Eastern Europe in the winter. I've made movies in states like Ohio, Alabama, Mississippi.
It's usually not in the most beautiful places.
It's not a beach. This is the first time in my entire career I've ever got to make a movie in a place that I would literally wish I could vacation in. Like, it's so beautiful. And I just want to promote Puerto Rico because I love the community here and the state that it is. And I just want to say, if you ever can get your family here one day or, you know, visit here with friends, Puerto Rico has so many amazing things to offer.
It is a beautiful, beautiful place. And I feel lucky to be filming here for sure.
Well,
we're grateful to have you.
We are. All right, Lucas, we don't want to torture you anymore. Here's the good news, Lucas. You get to leave this podcast, and I don't get to go anywhere. So I will
because
to be
it's voicemail right. time.
You kids have fun. I'm going to go to the beach.
Yeah, go to the beach, Lucas.
Thanks, Lucas.
We'll meet you down
everybody,
there.
Lucas Haas, we thank you for coming.
Okay, it's voicemail time. Biatch!
How much do you love Lucas?
I fucking die for Lucas.
The best.
The other day when you were like napping, I just kicked it with Lucas and ate Puerto Rican pineapple by the beach.
Nice.
By the ocean.
Nice. You guys are living your best
life. Living our best life. While you stress, we're too blessed to stress. That is what is up.
Okay. Could you wrap it up?
Yeah. All right. Here is one of our voicemails.
This is Becca. I just wanted to say that I love you guys. I think that you are my favorite couple on Vanderpump. Randall, thanks so much for joining the show. If I were to ask a question, I would say, Lala, what has inspired your style? I would say you're super unique, and I would love to get some tips and tricks. Thanks so much. Love you guys. Keep up the great work.
What inspires my style? Absolutely nothing. I wish I was inspired. Like, I go through my Instagram, and I, like, save people's cute outfits, and I don't even know why, because I'm never going to try to copy it, because I just put on what I feel like, which is most of the time no makeup and sweatpants. Unless the camera's rolling, then I pretend like I'm just fabulous all the time. Next question. We'll go with a lighthearted one.
Hi, Lala and Randall. I just wanted to say that my boyfriend and I just started listening to your podcast while in quarantine, and we are loving it. And in your first episode, you mentioned that you ate Lunchables. So we were wondering, what is your favorite Lunchable? Thank you guys so much for listening to my message, and have a lovely day. Bye.
Turkey. Definitely. I love the turkey. I don't like the ham. That's weird. Turkey with the one with the Capri Sun. And I do enjoy the Oreos as my treat.
Okay. So I should get my kids Lunchables on here. The three of you can talk about what flavor you like.
The kids like the pizza balls.
I know. Okay, I have a question.
Hi, Lala. This is Alexa from Indiana. Oh, hi, Randall. I love you guys. I've been a fan of Lala's on Vanderpump Rules since day one. And I love the podcast. I love the guests you guys have on. Shout out. I loved MGK's episode. I am a new fan to the podcast, and I just wanted to say keep on keeping on, and you make great reality TV, and I love you as a couple. Congratulations on the wedding. I want to know what you guys' favorite date has been. Since you've been all over the world together, I just want to know what's your favorite date, where's your favorite place. I love you guys. Bye.
Oh, this one's cute. What's your favorite date of ours, babe?
um...
He wants to behead me right now. I can see it in his eyes. I can feel the energy.
My favorite date is when you're sleeping and I'm watching TV.
That's so fucked up. The thing is I know he's full of shit. He's look, he thinks he's so funny. Oh, look how I have such big balls in front of my friends.
Wow.
What is your real favorite date? Good Lord.
My favorite date, honestly, I obviously being with you every day is my favorite date. But when we got engaged, that was probably one of our best dates we ever had.
Wow.
It's true.
It is true.
I think isn't that your favorite date? That was a date. I mean, we were going to dinner and then.
That's more of an event. But that is also my favorite event.
Hey, what's
my
your favorite date?
My favorite date.
Every date with you is just
is
a
when we order takeout and eat it just at home. And then we go up into our room and watch trash TV and chill.
I like that too.
People think I'm bougie and I'm really
no,
not.
No, you're not. No,
I pretend.
No, no you're
I'm
no,
really,
you fake
really
the bougie.
Simple. Oh, yeah.
No, you like to turn.
I totally fake it.
No, you like to turn on 90 Day Fiance, binge watch that. Then you binge watch the Housewives of whatever state, city they have.
In quarantine, I'm
and then we
binge watching
and then we cuddle.
New Jersey. Yeah,
sometimes.
And then we cuddle. And I'm always the big spoon. Hey.
Which is fucking awkward.
Time's up on this podcast. I'm having a lot of fun, though. You guys, thank you so much for joining us yet again on Give Them Lala with Randall. Babe, thanks for putting up with me. We will catch you guys next week. We love you.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.